Welcome to SCOTUSCast, third time's the charm post-decision edition. Thanks for tuning in. On Tuesday, April 28th, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Cohn v. Bell. In this case, the Supreme Court considered whether Petitioner Cohn is entitled to federal habeas review of his Brady claim that the state suppressed material evidence during his prosecution and sentencing. Justice Stevens, writing for a six-justice majority, held that the state court's rejection of Cohn's Brady claim is not barred from federal review, vacating the judgment of the Sixth Circuit below and remanding the case to the district court. To discuss the decision, we welcome Criminal Justice Legal Foundation Legal Director Kent Scheidegger. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Scheidegger.
On April 28th, the Supreme Court announced a decision in Cohn v. Bell, its third opinion in the same case. As Chief Justice Roberts noted in his brief concurrence, the opinion simply applies established law to unusual facts, producing a precedent with limited reach. 29 years ago, while escaping from an armed robbery, Gary Cohn murdered an elderly couple in their home in Memphis, Tennessee. His identity as the killer has never been in doubt. He claimed that his use of methamphetamine rendered him insane at the time of the crime, and alternatively, that his addiction was a mitigating circumstance weighing against the imposition of the death penalty. The prosecutor denied that he was on methamphetamine at the time of the crime. Years later, while his case was still in the state courts on collateral review, Cohn's lawyers discovered documents that had been in the possession of the prosecution that would have supported his claim of drug addiction. The state trial court rejected his nondisclosure claim, mistakenly stating that it had been previously rejected. The state appellate court held that all of the claims not asserted in the two previous reviews of his case were waived. On federal habeas corpus, the district court held that Cohn's nondisclosure claim under Brady v. Maryland had been defaulted in the state courts, and in the alternative, that it was meritless. The Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit affirmed this holding on the same basis. That court granted relief on other grounds, was reversed by the Supreme Court, granted relief again on yet another ground, and was reversed by the Supreme Court again. The third time, the Court of Appeals affirmed the district court's denial of relief, refusing to revisit its prior rejection of the Brady claim. On its third review of the case, the Supreme Court reversed yet again and sent the case back to the district court to consider the Brady claim on the merits, notwithstanding the fact that the district court had already rejected the claim on the merits in an alternative holding. The Supreme Court held that a state court's rejection of a claim as previously adjudicated is not a procedural default precluding review by the federal courts. No one really thought that it was, and any implication to that effect in the Sixth Circuit opinion is more a case of sloppy drafting than incorrect reasoning. The Supreme Court also held that the Tennessee Appellate Court's ambiguous holding regarding waiver of claims not previously presented did not apply to the Brady claim. Justice Alito, joined by Justices Scalia and Thomas, dissented on this point. Finally, the Supreme Court held that while the drug evidence was not material to guilt, it might be material with regard to sentence. The majority believed that the lower courts had not sufficiently considered the materiality question as to sentence, and sent the case back for yet another review. In terms of the law governing review of criminal cases on habeas corpus, this decision changed very little. Given the clear guilt of the defendant and the minimal mitigating value of his evidence, we have to wonder why the court accepted it. Perhaps it wished to send a message to prosecutors and lower courts that it takes these nondisclosure claims very seriously and wants them reviewed carefully, even when they are mixed in with a boatload of other claims, as so often happens in capital cases. Hopefully, next term's habeas cases will give us answers to broader questions.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.